Blog Talk Radio.
Genetic modification of food crops has become a global issue. The U.S. government requires no pre-market authorization for most gene-edited crops. The European Union is considering new regulations based on rulings by the European Court of Justice. A Japanese space probe has been observing an asteroid about 340 million kilometers from Earth. Now it's preparing for the next phase of its mission, studying the asteroid's interior. The Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, or JAXA, says the Hayabusa 2 probe will attempt to create a crater on the asteroid called Ryugu on April 5th. The probe landed on the asteroid on February 22nd, and JAXA believes it successfully collected rock samples from the surface. In the next operation, Hayabusa 2 will release a device called an impactor, which will descend to a range of 200 to 300 meters from the asteroid. The impactor will fire a metal object at a speed of more than 7,000 kilometers per hour into the asteroid. But before that happens, Hayabusa 2 will move to the other side of the asteroid to avoid any rocks thrown up by the impact.
I'm very excited to be able to conduct an impact test on a real asteroid in an environment with very little gravity.
JAXA will use cameras and other equipment to monitor the small crater created by the impact. The agency hopes to land the probe in the area to collect samples from below the surface of the asteroid. In other news, the president of the Japanese Olympic Committee is likely to announce at a board meeting on Tuesday he intends to resign when his term expires in June. Tsunekazu Takeda has been facing corruption charges in France related to Tokyo's successful bid for the 2020 Olympics. Takeda was a member of Japan's equestrian team at the 1972 Olympics in Munich and the 1976 Montreal Games. He later joined the JOC and held a number of positions, becoming its president in 2001. He also headed Tokyo's bid committee for the 2020 Games.
Tokyo.
Preliminary procedures have been in progress at a French court since last December to determine whether Takeda should stand trial over allegations of bribery in connection with Tokyo's bid. Prosecutors in France say an investigative judge has been considering whether to indict Takeda since December. The International Olympic Committee has expressed deep concern about the scandal's potential to negatively impact the Tokyo Games, which begin in 16 months. Takeda has refrained from attending IOC meetings since the allegations came to light. Some JOC members say Takeda should leave when his term ends in June, as resigning sooner might send the wrong message he's admitting to bribery. A Japanese man who was a fervent supporter of the Olympics has died. He was nicknamed Uncle Olympics because of his enthusiasm for the Games. Naotoshi Yamada died of heart failure on March 9th, according to his Tokyo-based company. He was 92 years old. He had attended every Summer Olympics wearing traditional Japanese clothing since the 1964 Tokyo Games. Yamada had worked to promote the 2020 Tokyo Olympics and Paralympics. He organized an exhibition of about 200 Olympic items, including pictures and memorabilia, in his hometown of Toyama Prefecture 3 years ago. On Monday, the head of the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach, posted a message in the IOC's official Twitter account. He described Yamada as a real super fan and said he'll miss the Japanese man in Tokyo next year.
Tokyo Olympic!
Company officials say Yamada had been looking forward to next year's Summer Games. They say he was hospitalized in February when his health deteriorated. Now, the Olympics are an opportunity to forge new ties and bring the international community together. And those bonds often extend beyond the playing field. NHK World's Yuichiro Okuda looks at how a group of Japanese students are building relationships in the lead-up to the 2020 Games in Tokyo.
Seven high school students are visiting the school in rural Cambodia. The two schools have a long relationship. For 6 years, they've been talking about making sweets. It starts with a drive to a nearby village. They adhere strong about the key ingredients. This village makes sugar from palm tree sap. Villagers boil the sap, and the resulting sugar is a Cambodian specialty known for its depth of flavor. High school senior Kiki Shimizu is impressed, and she has a plan to help the villagers sell more sugar. The idea is to develop a new ice cream product using palm sugar as a secret sauce.
I'd like more people to know about the palm sugar from this village. I want to promote their passion for making sugar.
Shimizu thinks the Olympics is an ideal opportunity to do this. Her hometown of Tokushima is hosting some of the athletes for the Games. And that's not all. She is also president of her school's business research club. The club has won several prizes for its product ideas and is known as a scam. In past years, the two high schools have developed sweet dance and cookies as a student project. Returning from the village, the research team heads into the school kitchen. They've got all the ingredients they need, palm sugar, milk, and tropical fruit.
I'll test the texture and see what fruit tastes good in ice cream.
It all seems to be going smoothly. But then, disaster. A power blackout hit the village. The freezer is out of action, and ice cream doesn't set. Tasty, but not ready for the market.
I thought we'd just test the ice cream and approve it as usual, but things didn't run smoothly.
Shimizu will graduate this spring. The younger club members say they will carry on her work, aiming for a pump product launch in time for the Olympics.
I plan to attend the Olympics, if at all possible, and I would love to see you all there.
The ice cream failed to stick, but the bonds of friendship made stronger than ever. Yuichi Rokure, NHK World, Craving, Cambodia.
From April, NHK Newsline is getting a brand new look. Fishing stories from Japan and across the region. NHK Newsline Asia 24. Keeping on top of the world of business. Newsline Biz. Closest stories on people and issues. Newsline in depth. And the latest world news on the hour. NHK Newsline. Watch us on NHK World Japan TV. Online or on our free app.
And now here's a 3D outlook on the weather for selected cities around the globe.
This edition of NHK Newsline. I'm Roger Pradhan in Tokyo, and from all of us at NHK World Japan, thanks for joining us.
evening and welcome. My name is Gil Scott-Heron. My accomplices are, first from left to right, Eddie Knowles, a drummer for the Denny Zulu Dance Group, a drummer for the Simba Dancers, and a percussionist for a group called Black and Blues. The brother to my immediate left is Charlie Saunders of the Simba Dance Group and a former drummer for Loretta Parker. David Barnes, a singer for Black and Blues, will be heard later on in the evening. We'd like to do a poem for you called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, primarily because it won't be.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Mendel Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on reports from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the right occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so goddamn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally screwed Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry Arm Women Liberationists and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, or Engelbert Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Thank you.
Oh, seen on this track, but I can still see a little bit of it. It has been boarded up now, and as the investigation scene is sort of fenced away, police arrived on the scene to a man who was reportedly shooting at people in the tram. The attacker fled the scene, which led police to put the city into a veritable lockdown. They told people not to leave their houses. The counter-terrorism organisation also raised the terror threat level to the highest it's ever been. That's 5. That's higher than it is across the country. Level 5 here in Utrecht, because they were unsure as to what was happening. They weren't sure if the attack was part of a more coordinated sort of set of attacks, or whether it was one man working alone. So until they really knew what was going on, they had the city in lockdown.
All right, our correspondent Rebecca Ritters in Utrecht tonight with the latest on the violence and the shooting deaths of those people inside the tram. Rebecca, thank you. New Zealand's prime minister says the government will announce new gun control laws in 10 days. Sunday's attacks on two mosques in Christchurch have also prompted a review of what authorities knew and did not know ahead of the attack, which claimed 50 lives. An Australian far-right extremist has been charged with the murders.
A shaken Christchurch mourns its dead.
لا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل
And now this shaken country is tightening its gun laws. Something some politicians have tried but failed to do in the past due to a strong gun lobby and a culture of hunting. The suspected attacker is Brenton Tarrant, a 28-year-old Australian self-described white supremacist. He's now been charged with murder. Police say he used military-style assault weapons, which he was able to buy online legally.
Cabinet today made in-principle decisions around the reform of our gun laws. I intend to give further detail of these decisions to the media and public before Cabinet meets again next Monday. This ultimately means that within 10 days of this horrific act of terrorism, we will have announced reforms which will, I believe, make our community safer. You can surrender your gun to the police at any time. In fact, I've seen reports that people are, in fact, already doing this. I applaud that effort.
The attack has united New Zealanders in their horror and in their grief.
That they have failed woefully. Because what they have done, if anything, has increased the love and the feeling we have for our country. And we have also seen the tremendous outpouring of love, what we call Aroha, here in New Zealand.
Students led the vigils in Christchurch, performing the Haka. Singing. And meeting with Muslim leaders. Fifty people were killed in the attack, and 50 more were seriously injured. Now, the city and the people involved and affected are coming to terms with what happened.
Well, here are some of the other stories now that are making headlines around the world. France's prime minister says he will ban yellow vest protests on Paris's Champs-Élysées. The demonstration spiraled out of control again over the weekend as rioters torched and ransacked stores and restaurants along the famous avenue. The yellow vests began their weekly marches across France 4 months ago. Firefighters in the United States are continuing to battle a huge blaze at a petrochemicals terminal in Texas. The fire broke out on Sunday and has now spread to 8 storage tanks. Authorities have closed schools in the nearby community of Deer Park. No injuries have been reported. Rescue teams are continuing their search for the missing in Indonesia after flash floods and mudslides killed at least 77 people and injured hundreds more in the province of Papua. Deadly flood disasters are a common feature of Indonesia's rainy season. Well, the death toll in South East Africa is rising after Cyclone Eta tore into the region on Thursday. More than 200 people are confirmed dead, but Mozambique's government is now warning that the death toll could rise to more than 1,000 in Mozambique alone. Aid agencies are only just grasping the full extent of the damage, such as in the port city of Beira, where the Red Cross says 90% of the buildings have been destroyed.
Beira, a city almost completely flattened by the cyclone. Some 500,000 people call the port city home. And with communications down and roads cut, the numbers of dead or injured here are still unclear. As the cyclone swept across Mozambique and into Zimbabwe, torrential rain, flash floods, and winds of up to 170 kilometers per hour left a trail of destruction. Vast areas have been cut off, leaving people without roofs over their heads, clean water, and electricity. In neighboring Malawi, the rain swelled the waters in a region already hit by flooding. Now people are even more reliant on aid. My house and many other homes have been destroyed, and my land and my kitchen utensils and my food, everything's gone in the floods.
We've nowhere to go. We can't relocate as we're covered by and surrounded by water.
Here, food is arriving. Elsewhere in the cyclone-hit region, high winds and dense clouds are still hampering rescue and aid efforts, leaving communities to fend for themselves and prepared to bury their dead.
DW Africa's privileged Musfahiri is on the ground for us in Manica province in Mozambique. He sent us this report.
The effects of Cyclone Eta are most likely going to be felt for a long time. I'm here in the Manica province in Mozambique, where a bridge has been washed away. Most of the villagers now say they are going to feel this for a long time because supplies have been cut off. They won't be having any supplies from across the river, and they are appealing for things like food and even shelter because some of their homes have been washed away by these rains.
You're watching DW News. Still to come, the Night Wolves riding again, marking 5 years since Russia's annexation of Crimea. We'll tell you why for these bikers it's a day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Marty Smith Show.